I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We've been looking at the book of Ruth, and I trust that you'll have your Bible open to the book of Ruth. And we've looked at chapter 1, and I would like for you to understand there are certain things found there that really stand out. We find, first of all, doctrines found in this book of Ruth in chapter 1. I see, first of all, man. Man is seen throughout the chapter, first chapter of Ruth. And we also see that sin is seen in this first chapter. In Ruth chapter 1, it says, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man," this is a certain man, now this is not a fable, "a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Well, this was Elimelech, of course. He led his family into Moab, and that is, in a sense, leading them into sin. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man," and that's Adam, "as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Elimelech took his family into Moab, and this passed upon them. We see, of course, death taking place there, physical death. And we see that in verse 3, Elimelech died. In verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died. And in Genesis 3:19, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And so we see what sin brings. It brings death. In the case that we need to understand today, we need to understand that there is both physical and spiritual death. There is an eternal death, a total separation from God forever. And those people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior will live forever. They will have an eternity with Jesus Christ. But it's sad that those who do not follow the Lord, they do not receive Him as Savior, they do not know Him as Savior, there's only one place they're going to end up, and that is in hell, in the lake of fire. And that's sad. Well, I see the doctrines found in Ruth as man, sin, and death. And then I see the theme of Ruth chapter 1, first of all, is death. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Elimelech thought he was doing right. He saw in himself and in what he was doing, he thought he was a right man, he thought he was doing right, but it was wrong, and the end thereof was death. And we also see the doctrine, or the theme, not the doctrine, we looked at the doctrine, but this ties in with the doctrines, of course, death. And then, of course, God gives life. In Proverbs 15:25, it says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Well, who are the wise? Those people who trust Jesus Christ. That's the way of life. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life." What is the way of righteousness? That is trusting Jesus as Savior. And then Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Who wins souls? The righteous, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And then Proverbs 15:31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Who hears the reproof? Who's really listening? It's those people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you've never done that, you need to trust Him today to save you so you can go to heaven. I want to see you there one day, and I want to rejoice with you. Well, we now look in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. We see the kinsman. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Well, Boaz, the name means strength. Well, the Bible does not tell us how Elimelech and Boaz were related. But a good guess is that they're cousins. Now, the Jews considered relatives who are second cousins to be immediate family. By looking forward to Boaz's genealogy in chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we observe the source of his wealth. Well, the father of Boaz is Salmon, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says that Salmon is married to Rahab, the former harlot, in Joshua chapter 2. It says in verse 5 of Matthew 1, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and that's Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Well, the grandfather of Boaz was Nahshon, according to Numbers chapter 2, and he was the prince of the tribe of Judah, according to 1 Chronicles 2:10. I'll not read those. I would have confidence in you that you'll write some of these verses down, and you'll go back and look at some of these verses that we're talking about. And we also read that Boaz's great-grandfather was Amminadab. And when we look through the book of Ruth and we get down to the part that talks about the genealogy, we'll look at some of these genealogies and we'll see how it led to a certain individual. And let me remind you once again that the book of Ruth is God's message of love. Well, Boaz and Christ share at least three things in common. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, and so is Christ. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24 says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that speaketh or spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Well, we see that also in Isaiah 47:4 it says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." And if you study the Word of God, you know that the Holy One of Israel is none other than Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer, those of us who have trusted him as our Savior. Well, Boaz is a mighty rich man, wealth. He had wealth, and you know, so is Christ. In Psalm 50, in verses 10 to 11, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine." Well, how is that possible for Christ? I'll tell you how it's possible, because he's the Creator. He's not only the Son of God. He not only came in the flesh as a man, but he is God. And the Bible says and teaches us that all things were created by him and for him. And you read the book of Revelation, and it tells you that all things were created for him and by him for his glory. Well, we can look at several things about Boaz. He's from Bethlehem, and so is Christ, according to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. And then we look at verses 2 and 3 of Ruth, and it talks about the gleaner. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I have found grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." There's nothing but chance with God. Now, Ruth, I believe, had no idea that Boaz owned this field, because she said, by hap. In other words, perhaps God will place me in the place that I need to be so that I can find what God wants me to have. And it says there that it was provided for her that she should go into the field of Boaz. And we see here Ruth was gleaning. Ruth understood about the biblical principle of gleaning. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 21 and Leviticus 19, 9 and 10 talks about that. And we see in those verses, we can look at that and we can see that gleaning is an example of God's providential care. He takes care of us just as he takes care of the fowls of the air who they don't sow or reap, but God takes care of them, and he'll take care of you and I if we'll let him, if we'll listen to him. Well, notice that gleaning always depends upon a person's willingness to work. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Work, let me look at it like this with you. Let's not think of it as simply physical labor, but let's look at it like this. Work in searching the Scriptures. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And then in Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." You and I need to search the Scriptures. We need to look into the Word of God and see what God has for us as saved people. Well, searching the Scriptures. And as I look back in the book of Ruth, I find that although Ruth was a Moabitess, Ruth appears to be a virtuous woman. And this can be seen in Proverbs chapter 31. Read that chapter of Proverbs, and you'll see the virtuous woman pictured there. And I believe Ruth is a picture of the virtuous woman. Now, let's consider Ruth for a moment. Ruth left home and family only to face poverty. And notice what Paul says about this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," Ruth had forgotten these things, "and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Ruth didn't know about Paul at this time, but you know, she was following this principle of God, that she was going to press forward. She was going to forget those things that were behind, and she severed all ties to Moab and knit her heart to God and His people. In verse 16 of Ruth 1, it says, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And we see Ruth living the very truth of Philippians chapter 4 in verse 11. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Ruth was content to do the things of God. Well, we also see Ruth's humility, and it's seen as she goes out into the field and labors, identifying herself to others as a widow who is poor. She wasn't ashamed of that. She wanted to do God's will. And then we see that we need to consider something, the arrival of the inquisitor. In verse 4 it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." And in Matthew 1:23, read about that. Read in Matthew 1:23 and you'll see the blessings that's bestowed upon people. And Boaz's first words here was, "The Lord be with you." And we see this fulfilled in Matthew 1:23, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. Know Jesus as your Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Him today. Ask Him to lead you and guide you. Take you as He did. Let Him take you as He did Ruth and take you into the land of the living. Ask Him to come into your heart. Live for Him.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.